Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 3 on YouTube Live. Yo, we got a super dope episode today, man.
Yes,
we're gonna have our first female guest. Mm-hmm. And I could not be more excited than this lovely lady that we're about to have today. So the topic is gonna be mental health. And man, we're gonna dive deep. So yo, people, please share this. You know, we're gonna address or handle some questions towards the end, so make sure you stay tapped in. If you have any questions, we're gonna make our best to answer them. So
please share,
comment, and we're gonna get this thing cracking, because it's gonna be, like I said, a super dope episode. So our guest today, without further ado, it's my sister. I mean, I've been doing life with this lovely lady for, man, at least 8 years, man. And we met through the ministry. Now she ventured out and started her own nonprofit organization, Open Heart Leaders. So, hey, man, let's give it up to my sister, Miss Lady A. Yo, welcome.
She is in the house.
Yes, yes. Thanks for giving us your time, sis, because I know you're a busy lady.
You're welcome.
How you doing today?
It's a good day.
Yeah?
I'm alive. It's an amazing day.
Shh.
I'm alive.
Say that again. Say that. Praise, praise the Lord.
Hey.
Man, well, once again, thank you. Thanks for giving us your time. And I know this topic about mental health is something that you live out every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you help a lot of the youth in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But before we start it off, we want to hear about your story, your upbringing, where you're from, you know.
Well, so first let me correct. The nonprofit actually started in the conception and the vision was given to me in 2003.
Oh.
While I was a junior at Alabama A&M University. I brought it to California in 2015. From there, and there's a story behind that, but that's, you know. But so I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. So I'm a Southern Belle. I was born in the South.
Mississippi.
Jackson, to be exact. And my mom left Jackson when I was 2 years old, and we moved to Los Angeles. And so growing up in South Central, and then we moved to Inglewood and there. So that was for the smaller part of my youth. And then we moved to Northern Cali. About fifth grade, we moved to San Jose, California. And we were only there a short time. And then I ended up being shipped back off to the South. And then move back.
What were the causes for that shift?
My mom had to kind of get, you know, to be honest, I don't know. I was shipped off to my grandparents. So I don't know if my mom just needed a break or.
By yourself?
She was trying to get life together. You know, I don't know. I never asked. I just know we moved from San Jose and I had to go live with my grandparents. So I was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. And there. And then some things happened in Mississippi and there, and then I got shipped back home. Well, shipped back to my mom, and that's when we moved to San Diego in 93, sixth grade. I was in sixth grade in San Jose, moved back to San Jose, and then my mom just, we unpacked, and we moved to San Diego in 1993, sixth grade. So part of my sixth grade year, I showed up. We moved to Spring Valley, California.
Let's go, Spring Valley.
And I went to La Presa Middle School.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was like, okay, so we at La Presa. And that's when little journey started. I started seeing another side of me and began just being involved with the wrong people and the right people. And I say that respectfully, because I think sometimes we put such a dent on gang life and people involved in gangs, and not everybody that's in a gang always is violent or a disruptor. Mm. Some people, it's a way of life. And it's a way of family and getting people to understand the concept of love, loyalty, respect, values, morals. And that's hard for some people to believe when you associate those terms or those things with gangs. But that's what it is for some people. And some of us live that out accordingly in a different perspective. And so for me, I'm joining a gang and being gang involved. It was a different perspective of the concept of family for me. And so we moved from Spring Valley.
How old were you at this time?
We moved seventh grade. So we were in Spring Valley 12, a year 13? And I started getting, technically I was like 11, going on 12. And we moved to North Park. And living in San Diego, those who are from San Diego or live at the time in the 90s, North Park was considered like a mesh pool for different gang. It wasn't really like, you know what I mean? Like Logan. It wasn't like Skyline. It wasn't like Lincoln. It was like you live in North Park. Like, and it was like a melting pot. Mm. So what happened in the 90s, a lot of the melting pots created cliques. So that's when you have like, you know, your Scandalous Crew, your Black Mob, your those kind of cliques formed. And those cliques were associated with different people who were associated with different types of gangs. And now we formed a clique because we're in a, for lack of better terms, unincorporated area. It's not a blood territory. It's not a Crip territory. It's like we all here. So it's our territory. And we're going to put a name to it. Right? And so that's kind of that. And I lived in North Park all the way up until I graduated high school. And after high school, I left and went back south. I went back to Alabama to attend college. And I stayed in Alabama for almost 13 years. And then while in Alabama, got it, you know, just dealing with school, college, and those kind of things. Associated my gifts with a lot of the different things that I knew I possessed, but just turned it for good instead of bad and created something in myself, moved back. So what a lot of people, well, a lot of people do know that are from San Diego. So living in North Park, I attended Roosevelt Junior High School. And that's up the street from San Diego High. That's like the, you go to Roosevelt, and then most people that graduate Roosevelt go to San Diego High. When I was a youth, one of my closest friends and kind of like first crushes, boyfriends, whatever you want to call them, he committed murder when we was kids on my street. And he ended up doing 25 to life. And from the time he was locked up in there, I followed his life for that certain period of time, and we got engaged in 2012, Christmas Eve 2012. He proposed. We started dating again. We were on and off from like 2009 to 2012. I was traveling from Alabama to California. So each time they moved him to a new prison in California, I would come and then see him in there. And then, we rekindled still, and to this day, he's still my best friend. He's out now, thank God. He got out, he paroled, and he still get on my nerves. But we still best friends. We never got married. But that story in itself was a different challenge. And that came the birth of Open Heart Leaders here in California. So the birth of Open Heart Educators was in Alabama in 03, where we took students from Alabama A&M, Oakwood, UAH, different universities in a certain area. And we went into the community and we taught the kids how to do arithmetic and their reading levels so that they wouldn't close their school down because their test scores were so low. And so that was my way of like, oh man, we got to give back. And the reason being is because as a young person, I struggled with my mental health. I struggle with my mental health, and mental health can affect the way you learn and affect how you receive education. And so I'm like, if life is life in for a kid, no, they're not focused on the Y equals MX plus B because they focus on their stomach grumbling because they don't got no food at home. No, the kid is not going to wake up in class because I got to stay up all night because my dad's a crackhead. And if we don't stay up, he don't come in and steal everything we got. So we got to take turns being on post, on watch, because I got to make sure he don't steal nothing. You know what I'm saying?
So pretty much all the energy that a kid has, it goes into those life circumstances, right? Instead of just being, using his imagination, being creative, focus on school, sports, all these different activities.
It depends. Every kid finds their outlet. You know what I mean? What you put in always has to come out, right? You eat food, it come out, don't it? It's going to find a way to come out. It's going to come out top or the bottom. But it's going to come out.
That's a bar right there.
You know what I'm saying? So everything that's put inside of you comes out. If I am a parent and I am enforcing anger into my child, it's going to come out. Mm. May not come out to me, but it's going to come out. And sometimes it may not come out what we think it looks like. If I enforce anger into my child may be the best creative artist or pottery, you know, clay artist or something. And we don't know that that child is exercising. I got to get this energy out because emotions transfer to energy. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And when you think about it, when you say you love someone, emotions transfer to energy, which thus transpires to an action. This is why a lot of people confuse love with sex, right? I love them so much, I'm going to have sex with them. It's like, what? If you love them, girl, go bake a cake or something. Like, why we got to go to the extreme? Because the highest of extreme of something, we want to go to the extent of what we feel that extreme is. And so I try to remind people, like, don't minimize emotions and compare them to actions, because you don't get to tell someone how to feel. You don't get to tell them how to project, and you do not get to tell them that what they're doing is not a display of how they feel.
And see, I think that's the problem with our culture, right? When the Hispanic is the machismo, you know, in the Black communities, the toxic masculinity.
I met your family, remember? Met your dad. I know where you come from.
Yeah, by the way, for those
you met his dad, I haven't even met your dad, bro.
Your family, so I understand the cultural appropriation and understanding, like, in our cultures, we don't, I don't even want to say it's sad. I would say it's embedded in us that we don't highlight specific things. Like, there's, you know, I learned from even clients in the Hispanic culture, it's almost equivalent to the Black culture, you know? You don't say what goes on at my house. And for the young men, you know, you gotta be macho. You better not cry. You better not have no emotions. For what? And for the moms, it's suppress the energy and just take care of the home and do what needs to be done. Right? And that ain't always right, bro. That ain't always right.
Yeah, so she actually did an intervention, you know, because my sister, shout out to my sister, love you. You know, we're going through our issues, but we couldn't talk. Like, she had a lot of anger, a lot of stuff built up, and none of my parents, me, so she did an intervention. It was supposed to go for an hour, it went to four.
They had me in there all night, no.
She did a house call?
That came to me.
We were all there in her office at the time, and that's the thing, like, they don't show us, it's not in our culture to express our emotions or how to handle our emotions or how our emotions need to be released, right? And that's something that I recently learned, and that's what we're teaching our kid. Like, every time we pick it up to school, it's like, okay, how you feeling? You know, was there anything that stirred you up? Anything that you felt that, you know, rubbed you the wrong way, or any negative emotion or sad? Because, you know, it's suppressed, but it will, like you said, it's going to come out.
And if we use words, if we're able to use words to express ourselves, it's going to get us so much further than to hold it in. You know, because for us, being Mexicanos, right, we kind of have, we're okay. But our okay can mean we went through so much during the day. And sometimes we kind of like I don't know. I've learned this from my wife, because my wife, she'll tell my kids, hey, express yourself. What do you have going on? Say it. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, don't share too much, right? Like, don't share too much.
Why?
Well, from my dad. But I've learned it from my wife that it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife, she's super serious on birthdays. Mm. And I grew up not caring for birthdays, because in my family, we didn't celebrate my birthday, you know, broken house, whatever. So, like, our birthdays were just another day. Mm-hmm. So, but my wife, you know, her house, her mom and her dad are together, still together. They have, even though they go through their drama, they're together. That's so cool. I love that about her family. Like, they can be a mess, but they're together. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And, well, you know, my family, it's different because, you know, divorce, broken home, drugs. So this pattern of missing Christmas, missing birthdays. And I had to learn. I've been married for 15 years. And I had to learn that with my wife, where she's telling me, hey, it's not really the gift. It's the thought. Mm-hmm. Whoa, am I getting a...
celebration, bro.
So it's like
to make up for all the lost birthdays.
For real. So my wife taught me that, and it was okay. Like, now I call or I say, hey, you can, you know, let's go for your birthday somewhere, because I've learned that trait from my wife and speaking about it. So going back to my kids, now I'm like, hey, yeah, how do you feel today? You're not feeling good? Why? Like, what's going on? You want to talk about it? You want space? Do you want to go walk? Do you want to go somewhere? So now I've learned that from the sensitive side of my wife. Mm. I think God is so awesome. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm happy that my wife's not like me. Mm-hmm. You know, she's so
That's
different.
That's the balance.
Yeah.
You want her to be different than you, because you want your kids to see balance. And that's what formulates character. I was meeting with my kids tonight, mentoring. That's why I was like, Brennan, I gotta meet my kids. And these kids that I'm dealing with are kids in a juvenile diversion program, which means they committed a crime, and rather than get a record or go to jail, they have to complete my program. That's and so tonight cool. We talked about
how many kids in that program right now?
Oh, there's over 100 and something kids in the program. Wow. It's what we divide, though. So I only take a handful on Monday nights, and then some I take one-on-one, and then some we put them in other activities. So it just kind of depends on what they do. And now I've just expanded, so I got to do different kind of groups, too, because I have a different set of kids coming through. And so these are the things that occur. But tonight we talked about... I asked them what's the difference between love and loyalty, because some of them are gang affiliated, and one of my kids, I told him, like, he's like one of my favorites, and I don't never say that about kids, but the reason why is because I see that I'm changing his mindset about gang mentality. And I asked him the night, I said, you know, what are you loyal to? And he was like, I said, are you loyal to your set? You loyal to the gang, to the hood? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you gotta be loyal to yourself first. And he didn't understand what I meant by that. And I told him, this is what I know about loyalty. Loyalty will have us yearning for the attention of even the things that bring us pain.
Say that again.
Loyalty would have us yearning for the attention of even the things that bring us pain. So when you say, do I love something or am I loyal to it? It could be two different things. And a lot of young people confuse love and loyalty the same way a lot of young people confuse honesty before integrity. You could be a very honest and blunt person. That does not mean you're an integral person. You could be mean, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I try to teach young people to define these words that we often throw out in the atmosphere to identify and help identify with our feelings. So when you tell me you love your hood, you love your gang, tell me what you love about it. Oh, I love what? Tell me. And when they can't tell me, I say, I think you just rehearsed in your head these words that are often used in power sequences to give people the analogies of like, yeah, you really down for it. And I told him, I said, you don't love yourself.
Man, that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You tell somebody, what do you love about being in the game? Or what do you love about your neighborhood? And if they can't speak 10 things, or let's just say 3 good things, like, then what do they love? They fell in love with the wrong things, right?
I wouldn't say they fell in love. I would say circumstances caused them to create a false sense of what they lacked, and they made it there. That if I lack a father in the home and there's a big hole below the block that tells me what to do and keeps me right, then now I've created a false sense of fatherhood or the imagery of fatherhood in my head, and I'm gonna cling to that. I want to do everything he do. I want to be down for the big homie because I'm loyal to him. I owe him. I love him.
He gives the attention that the kid
he gives the attention, even if it's a negative impression. It's the intention. We are loyal to the things that give us attention, even if it brings us pain.
So, since going back to the name of the organization, what inspired the name?
Open Heart Leaders.
Yeah, where did that come from?
And our motto is approaching every situation with an open heart. It comes from understanding that we have to approach every situation with an open heart, meaning we have to die daily. And when you approach a situation, die daily to self means you don't approach it with a mindset of you approach it with the mindset of Christ. And I say that, I say that to you guys because we're on this podcast. And it's not that I can't say it in a regular atmosphere in there, but those who know me and who are close to me understand what I'm doing, right? It's open heart leaders means opening your heart to accept the things that are and the things that are not, but still leading with love and still leading with the compassion, still leading with grace, still leading with forgiveness, still leading with peace, right? And then when you think about the concepts, when you think about Galatians 5:23, right? You think about the fruits of the Spirit, right? You have to live those things daily. But to live, you must die daily. I cannot live today, go to sleep and wake up who I am today, because then that means I'm in self and I didn't elevate Christ. Who I am today is not who I'm going to be tomorrow, because every day we live in sin. I've done something today to offend. I've done something that wasn't right in his eyes. And if I don't go home, repent, pray. And when I mean repent, I don't mean I'm necessarily, oh God, forgive me. This Lord, you know, if I've done something that isn't pleasing to your sight, forgive me, Father. And let me wake up different tomorrow to recognize, hey, that's not the same, you know? So,
so how did you come to Christ?
In Alabama or over here?
So I would say, I always tell people the best
thing. Sounds a lot better.
That my mother and... it does. The best thing that my mother and my grandmother could have ever done for me was introduce me to God. The best thing I could have ever done for myself was develop a relationship with God. I didn't get my relationship with God and with Christ through my mom, through my grandparents, through church. I got my relationship through Christ, through experience and through living. And typically, what I don't like, I don't rehearse religion, I don't rehearse God, I don't do that. I seek him daily in everything that I do, and I try to operate from a space of not trying to be him, but try to be like him. And that's sometimes where the arrogant pride comes in of man, is we try to project that we're trying to be like God while trying to be God. That's how I can. I'm not God. I can't fix you. I can't heal you. I can't do nothing but lead you to the man that can. And sometimes we have, you know, that gets conflicted with people who want to live like Christ while wanting to be Christ.
And I know you've been criticized a lot. Oh, and it's unfortunately, you know, throughout brothers.
It's part of the deal.
It's part of the deal.
It's through our brothers who we've done life with. We started with the ministry, right?
No, it sounds better.
And
a lot better.
How? What is it that in the church, the topic of mental health is such a still a taboo? And I say that because today I saw a post from one of our brothers. I'm not going to put his name out there. And he said, you know, therapy and what's the other, psychology is not of God. And he broke it down, the word, because it comes from the Greek and meaning
soul. Sorcery or something?
He didn't say sorcery that I remember, but he did mention that it was like a soul healer. And the only one who can heal your soul is Christ. But also in the Bible, it talks about there's a war for our souls. Right? And I think there's a misunderstanding of what soul referring to in the scripture, because my understanding of soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So you can be in Christ, but your mind, will, and emotions, the devil can have that. Right? Because he's using your emotions to do bad in the name of God. You know, there's people that will aggressively go towards you because, you know, you're living with your girlfriend, for example. Right? It's like, hey, man, that's a sin. Then, you know, repent and yada, yada. But that's not our job, right? That's the Holy Spirit's job. He'll convict you unless you get a word directly from God to address that. That's just my view of seeing things. But why do you think you get such an aggression from especially men of what you're doing? Because I applaud you. Obviously, I've relied on your services, not just with my family, but also with my wife. Mm-hmm. You've helped us a lot, and I embrace you. I applaud you all the time. That's why you're here.
I think so. What I've learned in my field, and so I'm a master certified life coach. I'm a mental health practitioner. I'm currently actually a full-time student back in school now to get some other things.
Did you go to school for psychology?
No, I did not. I went to school for mass communication.
Okay.
I'm just supposed to be on the radio. That's all I wanted to do.
Okay.
I didn't want to do none of this, to be honest.
No,
but I understand
my kids.
My
gifts. Sound real crispy over there.
I understand my gifts, right? But the reason I feel I get so much criticism is because we have over-centralized. We've dramatic. That's such a loaded question.
It is.
But what I will say, mental health is real.
Facts.
And I think what has happened in common earth is you have humans who have taken God's word and transcribing and translated it into so many forms that we speak these big analogies and give these big soliloquies, and we make it sound truthful because we speak with conviction behind our voice, and we throw in a scripture here and throw in a scripture there, and those who may not be embedded in the word of God for themselves may not know how to decipher and use that spirit of discernment. I understand my God gifts, and I understand my level of expertise, and I understand what my Father speaks to me, speaks through me, and speaks in me. That war in a lot of my brothers' heads has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And typically, those who deny the state of mind are out of their mind.
You missed that one out.
Yeah, say that again.
Those that deny the state of mind, they're out of their mind. You have to be honest with self and interpreting where you are in life to ask for help. If you know it all, you can't tell somebody. If you got all the answers, I can't teach you nothing. I can't tell somebody something who know everything.
That's annoying, right?
Because if you know everything, what I'm going to tell you?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I think there's a lot of backlash because the world has switched up and made mental health such this wicked interpretation of voodoo and witchcraft and voices and, you know, all of these other things, not realizing sometimes mental health is the simplicity of your wife not wanting to wake up in the morning or not wanting to get out of bed or just wanting to always be at home on the couch. She may be struggling with fatigue depression, which means she just doesn't have the energy to do anything else.
Yeah.
And it's not per se something so negative. Oh, she's struggling with mental health. When we say mental health, it's just a mental state of mind and what health condition. Your physical health, your spiritual health, your financial health. If I walk around telling people you in bad financial health, you gonna say the banks ain't real? The banks is not of God. They not though, but no. But do you understand what I'm saying? Just because we say things are not of God, you can't tell God was not of him because he created everything. You go to the dentist to get your mouth fixed. If we knock out your teeth, you're going to say the dentist ain't a God because what? They use anesthesia to put you out if they got to get in your gums?
They're out their mind.
Out of their mind.
They don't put you to sleep. So mental health, is that branched into happiness? Like if somebody is not happy, does that mean that they're suffering of mental health?
No. Sometimes we don't want to make it too deep. Sometimes somebody not happy, they just not happy for today. Something made them mad.
How people confuse it, right?
With what?
Like, oh, he's always sad or he always sees things negative. He must have some mental health issues.
That could be.
Okay.
That could be. Now, a repetitive pattern of anything can lead to something, right? But once in a while thing, you'd be like, oh, okay. Now, there is a thing that's called seasonal depression, right? I don't know if you guys have ever encountered a person during certain seasons, their moods change. I have a sister every time around the holidays. When you get into the fall and winter months, she's no good. Like, she's more monotone. She's, you know, there, and it's attached to the weather. In the summer, my baby live. My sister, you're like, girl, sit down somewhere. She is live. Let's go here. We'll be doing that. Because the sun, I think, just rejuvenates her when that temperature drops and she lives in the south. She just gets into her bubble. And even my brother-in-law was just like, oh, sister, I'll be trying to do so. I'm like, yeah, it's seasonal depression. But what's happening with that is she corresponds the seasons with life events and its memories. I used to be the same way. My seasonal depression usually comes, and when I say used to be, I'm saying past tense because we're not in that season right now. But when we're in that present, I may say I am that way, right? Because I believe there's power in words. And so during like November, December, those are just typically were not good months for me because it just I don't know.
And the subtitle of this episode is can you be in Christ and depressed?
Mm-hmm. I know many depressed pastors. I know many people who struggle with mental health in churches.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think that we have confused spiritual therapy for mental health therapy.
So it's like saying or taking out of context certain scripture, like, for example, by his wounds I'm healed. And saying, okay, well, if I have depression or I have some sort of mental issues, I'm healed by his wounds.
Here's my thing. I tell people this all the time. If we were to live in the Bible days, none of us would make it. They went through some real stuff back then. I'm talking about who want to see some pigs just walk off the curb because God done put demons in the pigs and was like, y'all, we going to cast them out of this person. We going to put them in these pigs and they going to jump off the cliff. We would have been like, so we got the pigs jumping off the cliffs now? What is going on?
My bacon is going down the cliff.
Right? Something, and there ain't nobody eating them. They go home, right?
My carnitas, I would cry.
People turn it into salt. You know, how would you feel if your wife turned around and turned into a pillar of salt? You'd be like, what? That's witchcraft. That's voodoo. And you standing there Facebook. With Jesus.
Get on Facebook.
No, we wouldn't even have that, right? Because that in itself, right? It's like, I tell people, you have to put things into perspective and put it in the context of, like, this world is so watered down from what God expected it to be.
For reals.
We've watered down Earth. We've watered down human nature. And we've made it so simple that it's so simple, it's laughable.
Yeah.
It's laughable. Mm-hmm. And we dismiss mental health because now you can't tell the difference between mental health and clout. It's people doing some strange things out here, but we calling it clout. Are they trendsetters? They changing the game? No, that fool is crazy, and we need to check into that.
Yeah,
right. I looked at the little rapper. Every time I see them, it just breaks my heart because I'm like, who is gonna be them? Who's gonna step up and be like, enough is enough? The Blueface and Christian or whatever the baby name. It's so crazy the soul ties we connect with when our mental health ain't intact. We trauma bond with people.
Well, we can talk about Kanye, right? Kanye is out there.
Is he?
I think he's playing the part. I mean, it's just my opinion.
Playing the part of what?
I think he wants people to think that he's not okay.
I don't.
You think
I think that man went into a state of psychosis when his mother died and nobody in his camp ever. And one of his old manager talks about it. He said, we tried to will him in. All the people that his mother kept around him. See, you got to understand his history. There's a reason Donda West kept a lot of those solid men around her son. Kanye has always struggled with mental health. When you hear his old rap songs and he talks about how his mother called him a genius from birth. That man's IQ is ridiculous. By no means is he simple or dumb. Yeah. I think that he's in a state of psychosis in the sense of there are things that can make you lose your mind. He lost his grounding, his footing. His mother was his grounding, his footing. You lose that. Who out here love me? Who gonna love me like that? Who gonna understand that?
And I think the fact that he came to Christ, he didn't have that surrounding, right?
Of what?
Of men of God who were poor.
Yes, he did. If you look at the camp his mother had, Kanye had a pastor. Kanye had uncles. They're still there. He's pushed them away. So that's the thing. You are in a state of not in your right mind. He is in an ongoing battle with himself. And I tell people, some people are two social media posts away from being in the same state as you. You know what I mean? Like, that's real. He is not, when you do not feel safe within your own mind, you seek safety in the things that validate your mess. He don't want to hear from those people that his mom surrounded him by, because in doing that, you think about any human being. Just, you gave the example of how you used to be like with your kids, like, nah, I don't want to hear it. You know why you didn't want to hear from your kids their truth? Because if they really spilled their truth, it would force you to have to deal with it. And when you don't want to deal with something, if I just ignore it or not have it around me, then I'm not forced to deal with it. That's why I tell people, don't be asking people how you feel if you really don't want to know the answer. Because if you ask me how I feel and I tell you, today I really felt like cutting my throat and I kind of felt like killing my neighbor because I don't like her. Are you going to believe me or be like, girl, no, I'm serious. I was going to shoot her and then I wanted to cut my throat. Like, who sits that in your lap and you like, okay.
How would you handle that?
What?
If some, like, what you just said.
I mean, I handle it all. I have clients that come in states of psychosis. Ms. April, today I was going to take these pills and I was just going to jump off the bridge. I had a baby tonight in group that broke down. She disclosed that she was raped. And she was like, I was going to go to Plaza Bonita and I was going to jump off the wall, Ms. April. And I said, okay, you still want to jump off the wall? She said, I kind of do. I said, okay, let's talk this thing through. Let's walk it through. So when you jump off the wall, are you going to splat to the left or are you going to splat to the right? And she said, what? If you are going to kill yourself, I want you to be strategic in how you do it so we can prepare your mom and everybody else around of how we're going to deal with it.
So you make them think,
about all the way through. We're not going to think in the moment and the now. And I told her, I know you're hurting right now because whatever is hurting you is making you think to the extreme. But you're better than the extreme. You're above the extreme. I need you to plan it out for me so that I have the direct answers. And by the time she got talking, it don't make sense no more. Well, I don't want to do that because, well, why? No. We're going to go all the way with this thing. I tell my kid, you want to kill yourself? Let's go all the way. Are we going out with a white chariot? Like, what we doing? Because what you not going to be is selfish and leave me to plan something and you didn't think this thing through. You thought about it when you got jumped into the gang. You thought about it when you was dealing with that little boy. You thought about it when you had that baby. You thought about it when you shot up that needle. You thought about it when you had that bottle load. So let's not stop thinking about stuff now. Let's think this death all the way through, too.
There was a situation with this middle schooler at our church, and he had some domestic violence with his sister, whatever, and the pastor was like, hey, we're gonna go talk to him, whatever. I was like, all right. And I was getting pumped, right? I was like, oh, I'm gonna tell him this, you need to respect females, this and that, right? And he said, hey, he goes, wait a minute, he goes, one talk is not gonna fix everything. Relationship, build something from this, so then you can talk to him again, then he can speak about it. And it opened up my perspective on the building a relationship, you with all those kids, building a relationship. I read this quote yesterday. It says, when you speak harsh words to your kids, they don't hate you, they hate themselves. Because we build this, we make them believe what we're telling them. And they don't hate their dad or their mom. They hate themselves. And then they shelter, right? And this young boy, he was beating up his sister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old school ways would have been like, let's go pray for him. We're going to cast out all these little demons off of him, right? But we realize that the relationship, Jesus had relationship with people, hung out with them.
But he also had one encounters with people too. Mm. Jesus also had one encounters with people.
Personal, one-on-one, therapy. No,
one encounters, meaning I've only met you one time. I've seen you one time. And that's understanding your gift. There are some people that I've never seen again. I've had one session with them or I've seen them in an environment or an atmosphere. And I said what I had to say or spoken to them or whatever the case may be. And I've never seen that person again. I don't know what was to come. I don't know if their life changed. I don't know. But that is not my place, is to plant the seed. And it will grow and fester how it needs to be. And my prayer is that someone is watering that seed. But when you are in tune with your God gift, you are directed with what you need to say and how. And that's the thing. Just because, like you said, that kid was going through something, just because you're able doesn't mean you're the choice. That's one thing that irritates me about churches sometimes. We hear these analogies and these stories of people in the church. If a married couple is having married prayer, everybody want to go to the marriage ministry. We need to get more married people. But what if it's the single man in the back who's divorced, or the widower who's on the front? Just because you're able does not mean you are God's choice. He chooses who he chooses. And we struggle as humans with that. How you gonna tell me about kids and you ain't even got no kids? The same way Jesus gave them the five loaves of bread and the fish, and you didn't see all the fish and the bread there, but everybody ate, right?
Is there a story, or I want to hear something, a cool story where you met this youngster or young lady and you had a conversation and you see the change, you see the fruit. Is there a story that you want to share with us?
It's not with a young person, it's with an older person, because I don't just work with youth. A lot of people are like, you work with the youth. I work with everybody from the womb to the tomb.
Okay.
From the person in the belly to the man or woman on their way out this earth, we work with them. But there was a young lady. She was an addict. She was a client of mine. And one night I seen her. And I knew she was loaded. I was like, oh, she's loaded. I could tell because she just wasn't there. And I was just tired for her. I was like, I'm tired for her, Lord. Like, we handling this right now, Jesus.
We're going to go to rehab together.
Wasn't even rehab. I went up to her. I took a bottle of water. I prayed over that bottle of water. I poured that water from the top of her head. I told her, stay in here. And that water was cold. I know it's cold because I just got it. I told her, stay here. And I said, I want you to feel this water and let it be needles in your vein so you never stick another needle in your vein. So I pray that that water would give her the impact of one needle, like a million needles. And it would literally there. And I said, whatever is in you, I want you to sweat it out tonight. The next day, she came to me. She came to my office. And I was like, I get emotional talking about her. And I said, how you feeling today? And she said, I'm going home. And I was like, Her parents came and got her. That was, I moved in that building, that was 2019. Till this day, she's sober, she's clean. She got married, she just had a son. She did not touch Praise drugs God. Again from that. And we never talked about, like, did you go to rehab? Did you, like, next day, I'm going home. So she got clean and did. It's not for me to question what happened. I know what my prayer was, and I know what I needed her to experience in that moment. God did the rest.
So it's not like you had to pray for that demon to come out and like
that's dramatic. We over don't dramatize my guy. He can make the simplest a simple. Sometimes we here's the thing. I want Christians to start acknowledging Satan like we acknowledge God, because he's real too. We over dramatic on God, and he's like, oh, and then Satan, we downplay it. That's a demon. That's a devil. I'll be like, yo, y'all really wouldn't know what to do if a demon really presented itself in the form of a demon. Y'all get these TV analogies and these TV imageries of Satan with the horns and the tail and the little forklift. I'm like, some of y'all going home sleeping with demons every night. Some of y'all looking in the face of demons every day. And that's a hard truth to live with, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And you be like, dang, not that we put so much weight on titles, and I wish we stopped doing that. But don't do that, and that's your mom. Don't do that. Okay, that's my mom, and she's a human. Say, by grace, she a sinner too. She is not without void of sin. I'm not going to put that on a pedestal because of a title. I done seen the worst of the worst. I done seen parents give birth and hate their children.
Have you ever been like in a moment where, I'm pretty sure it's happened, but I want to ask, like a moment where you just couldn't take the story, or you couldn't take the moment, you were hurting for the person that you're talking to, and you're just like, whoa, Jesus, like I need to pray like right now. Because it's, I mean, I come out of a broken home. You know, my mom got beat up by my dad. My mom would be in a closet for weeks. I wouldn't see my mom sometimes. So those images in my mind are still there, where it's something where, you know, when I got married, I told my wife, hey, when I get married, it's going to be for reals, because I saw what my dad did. And I've kind of pushed honoring mom. You know, my kids, I got two boys, Abraham and Benji. And I always tell them, hey, respect your mom, you know, treat your mom. Because my dad didn't do a good job of that. And is there been a moment where you've heard a story where you're like, whoa?
No.
See, and piggybacking on what you said, bro, when we had that intervention with my family, you dropped a bar that made so much sense. That to this day, I still apply it, right? Because she said, you know how the words talks about generational curses, right? And you broke it down. So, like you said, it's simple, right? Because for me, generational curses was like someone did a freaking voodoo and, you know, or did a hocus pocus on you and cast or put on a spell. But what you said was, you know, you have mama's traumas and daddy traumas, they come together, they combine their traumas, and then they pass it on to the kids. It's that simple.
And even in your simplicity of telling your boys to honor their mom, you're projecting your over-centralization of not having your father or having a bad father onto your boys. Why not just honor women? Not mom, just honor women. Honor yourself, teach them to honor themselves first, because in honoring themselves teaches them the integrity that I talked about. That's no matter what woman. If your boys ever seen me in a circumstance, I would want them to honor that circumstance with me. But if they're only taught to honor their mother, then what do you think they do to little girls they don't have to honor? We got a lot of that going around. How many little boys we done met love their mama to death? But I got 3-4 girlfriends, 6 baby mamas. Nah, but I love and I respect my mama. Well, what about the women? Did we miss that concept? Like, we missed that, huh? We didn't catch that. Okay. And it's the same I tell women. It's not just a man thing. Little girls who are broken by men, who have sons, will raise the men that they wanted for themselves. Little boys who are broken by men grow up and project what they never had or what they know nothing of into their boys. Yeah. And then you got them two meeting together, and then what do you have?
A chimichanga that you don't want to eat?
Something will make your stomach hurt.
For reals. Facts. Right?
And then with women, when you have women, broken women who have girls, they embed non-present, emotionally unstable little girls. And when you have women who grow up without fathers, you have little girls who grow up not knowing how to set boundaries. Bars, and that's what happens.
Bars.
And that's what we have. Last
last question before we hit the
Time. Wow.
Oh, and then we'll check out some comments real quick. What would you say is the common denominator in our community of mental health? Like mental illness.
The common denominator, specifically in Black and Brown communities, is denial that there is mental health issues.
The denial.
That is.
It's that simple. The denial. That's right. Common. Did you want something deeper? I don't.
No, that's deep already.
That's common.
You said a lot with very little. And I heard that's the way to communicate. So obviously it shows your professionalism. Do we have any comments, my bro?
Just a thumbs up.
Okay. So just cheer on.
How is it possible that sometimes we got a bunch of comments when we least expect it, and when we think we're going to have more comments?
Because sometimes people have to, when you're talking about something so heavy, believe it or not, people have to process when it's serious to them. When you're an expert on something, you won't comment on it all. When you know nothing about it or you're hearing something new, you're going to listen. Mm. So sometimes less comments means more processing.
They're focused. Miss April, at the end of the cast, we do the five. It can be from food. It can be all types of stuff. And we usually put a Bible verse in there.
Okay.
So, you know, we Christian. We follow Jesus. All right. So question number one, here it goes, guys. It says, okay, if you don't read the Bible, does that mean you hate God?
No.
Why?
If you don't read the Bible,
if you don't read the Bible,
because I could be dyslexic and don't know how to read.
Yeah, she went for the
simplicity.
What about you, bro?
Absolutely not, man. I mean, that's why we need teachers. That's why we need to be disciples, right? Sometimes you don't understand the word. You know, like today, I'm reading Chronicles. I was going through all the genealogy. I'm like, sometimes
you get
like,
lost in the names, huh? In I'm the like, shuffle.
Lord, why?
The names will mess you up. Them biblical names.
And if you look them up, bro, if you look up what the meaning of you're going to be there for years, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And then they all connect at the end. You're like, what the heck? Jesus came from here.
So sometimes it's just lack of understanding, you know? And I can't expect my kid to like read the Bible. He loves God, but he doesn't read the Bible, you know? So I can't say, oh, my kid doesn't love God because he doesn't read the Bible.
All right, question number two. Proverbs 19:3 says, a person's own foolishness ruins his life, but in his mind, he blames the Lord for it. What does that mean?
Speaking of.
I thought that was a bar. Proverbs 19:3. A foolish man ruins his life, but in his mind, he blames the Lord for it. What does that mean? Yeah, to you.
It means that person has lacked accountability and self-awareness of who God really is. And God gives us the choices in life. And so it's easy to go back and blame who we say created us, rather than take accountability for the choices you made as a human, right? Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And the heart is wickedly deceiving. So you can't get hung up on one part of the word and not read the whole word, because then you live according to that one scripture. So it is easy as humans to blame God for specific outcomes and things that we endure. But it's also not easy for us to go back and to apologize to God when he really reveals who we are and we have that self-realization. So.
I echo that.
Part two, here we come.
Well, it's not holding yourself accountable. You know, it's like that situation I shared with one of my homies from TJ. You know, his girl got killed out, you know, they got kidnapped. I know my boy be doing dirt. And he prayed out to God and was like, I have an issue with God because he didn't show up. It's like, bro, why? That's part of the game.
Is your friend still alive?
Yeah.
He showed up.
Oh! That's what you get.
right? He showed up, right?
And he's like, why didn't he take me and not her, right?
Do people not understand when God is done, you are dead?
That's it.
When God is done, you are dead. If he gives you breath in your body to live, that means he's not done, and that means he still needs you to figure something out. So when people ask me why God wasn't there, why he didn't show up, I'd be like, are you breathing? They'd be like, yeah, he showed up. Because he didn't have to do that. He could have been like, sleep. You sleep. I'm done with you. You're not going to get it. Right?
I think
every day that God gives us breath in our body, it's not his way of saying he loves us. It's his way of saying, get it right. Fernando, get it right, April. Get it right, my child. Get it right, my son. Get it right, Layman. Because I've been depending on you. So that's not when people tell me, you know, God wasn't there and God is not here and he's not there. I'll be like, dude, every time you take a breath, just say thank you.
Ooh.
You know, we say the name of God every time we breathe, too.
Dang, she got you, bro.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, she got you, bro. Bro, be humble.
She always gets me, though.
Be humble. All right, question number three. Shoes, if you're at home, what do you prefer? Shoes, flops, or barefooted? Like, what's your style? The slides.
So, actually, it's my fuzzy socks.
Oh man, I forgot the fuzzy. Socks.
Because my fuzzy socks actually have like the menthol on them. And so, you know, when we get sick or they're the soles of your feet or your hands or the crown of your head. And so, like, I'm congested now. So when I go home, I'm going to definitely put on my fuzzy socks with the menthol so I breathe better and I sleep better at night. That way I don't have to take as much medication.
That's like Vaporub. You know, your parents, they got you the Vaporub in your nose. Mm-hmm. It's done.
That's
bro.
Literally what, like, in the yeah. sock, but it's in the form of socks because at night you want to sweat. So I'll get bundled up in the bed. So fuzzy socks.
When I was a kid, I couldn't sleep, right? So I would grab the vapor rub, put it in my eyes, bro.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And your eyes was watering.
Oh, I couldn't open them.
Yes, you That's
so
serious.
I had to sleep. Look, I'm out.
This guy's forget about sleeping pills.
Listen, bro,
and then the tears with the vapor rub, bro.
And then the more you doing that, the more you're agitating your eyes.
And then my tears would like bounce off the, you know, because it's Vaseline.
It's like a paste. Yeah, your mama should have. Yeah,
I had no mom at the house.
That's when we needed social media. Yeah. That would have been a video.
Viral right there.
All
right,
question number four. Praying or interceding?
Do I pray or do I intercede?
Do you feel more like praying or interceding?
It depends. Depends on what's happening. Sometimes I pray for things, and sometimes I intercede, and sometimes I do nothing because my gifts tell me when foolishness is foolishness. So,
and what's the difference for somebody that doesn't know?
Of different between praying and interceding on their behalf?
Yeah.
I would say the best way to describe praying versus interceding. So, prayer doesn't involve engagement. Interceding involves engagement.
Man, that makes sense right there.
Right? I can pray for you. I don't know your wife or your children, but you said their names. I can go home and pray for your boys. And I've never met them. Now, being in the presence of your boys, and if I feel like something is happening, I'm going to intercede on their behalf because I'm engaging with them. So most of the time that we are in active ministry, we're often correlating praying and interceding at the same time because it involves engagement. A lot of when we pray for the sick and shut in, we're praying for them. But if we've engaged with them in a particular time in our lives, we're also interceding on their behalf because they may not have the strength to do it on their own. So I say praying is to me something you can do without having any correlation or relationship or engagement. Interceding involves some form of engagement or knowledge of who or what you're praying for.
I told you.
She got you again.
So she always gets
you. Oh my goodness.
Don't even answer, bro.
Skip it. Oh my god!
Okay, answer.
No, because the engage part—that's exactly what. When you're interceding for somebody, it's almost like you're taking it personal, right?
Right.
So,
stepping in on their behalf, you're interceding and saying, and most of the time, that happens in the heightened of somewhere that either, like I said, they don't have the strength or they don't have the words. You can intercede on someone's behalf that may say, "I don't know how to pray." Okay, what's going on in your life? They tell you, and then you pray for them. You intercede on their behalf. Right? So
it's like, she got me hard, bro. My wife still throws it at me whenever it comes, you know, whenever she needs to pull that.
Bro, do you have her on your favorites, on your contacts?
Hey, bro?
Yeah.
I don't have favorites on my contacts, but.
Yes, everybody has favorites.
Well, I mean. She's busy, you know, but whenever I need her, she's there. but when my father-in-law passed away, the only way I knew at the time to be there for my wife was prayer, intercession, you know, sharing scripture, uplifting her. And I've shared this a bunch of times, and I'll never stop. I never stop sharing because it holds me accountable, right? She said, you know, my sister right here. Yeah, she got me. Christian. she said, hey, you just needed to be there. She did. She didn't need a minister. She didn't need a, you know, a brother in Christ. She
got him.
She got him. She needed to be present. Yeah. Sometimes the act of silence is the best gift that I feel when, especially for married couples. I'm coaching a couple now, a young married couple, and his wife always says, well, he just ever just sit still in there. And I said, is that what you want him to sit still? She said, I just feel like we don't connect. So their homework, I told him, your homework at night, allow your wife to lay on your chest and learn your breathing pattern. So when you guys are in public or out and you feeling any form of anxiety or anxiousness, your wife would be able to know because the change in your breathing pattern would tell her everything she needs to know.
Damn.
And for you, when she listens to your heartbeat, when she sleeps, you listen to her breathing pattern. Because when she's at peace, her breathing pattern will be longer. When she is stressed, she will do short wins of breath because that's how women are wired.
Damn, bro, you're like 0-4 right now.
Hey, but that just shows, man, I'm willing to take the nails in order to edify the people over here, man, to give y'all value.
No, and everything you've that you've comment about my comments, I agree. She got me.
Did you throw the fire?
No, I got one more, bro. Oh, okay. Hey, bro, you got a date?
Yeah, man. Got a date with my wife.
All right, copy.
I gotta learn her breathing pattern.
You know what? My wife, all she wants is hugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But see, he says he struggles with that. Is it because of.
With what?
Whoa.
What are you talking about?
With the connection. He got nervous. I mean, I'm training him with that too, but I mean, we could do that offline. But if you struggle with connection and affection, it's because you lacked it or you associate it with something that you feel softens you.
That's you.
Something that you feel softens you. Like, do you hug your kids? Do you hug your boys?
Man, my kids, if they're allowed, they will. My son wakes up every morning with us.
So your wife may say she wants hugs, but she wants intimacy.
Mm.
And she probably hasn't verbalized it in a way for you to understand And the way to get you to understand is just hug me, hold me. Intimacy could be so many things. Like when I coach,
can you explain this for a friend that I have? Sure.
I will.
Friend, his name is Chris. I have a friend that needs to know about this.
So intimacy is a form of connection without typical acts that we are used to doing. So I tell people, practice forms of intimacy, and you can do. And we've over sexualized the word intimacy. You can be intimate with your children, right? With my nephew, I do what's called Eskimo kisses. And that's simply when I, because he's a baby, he can't really do too much. But just that is my form of intimacy with my nephew because he's a baby. But there, you find an intimate point with who you love and make that your thing. You will always connect, right? And so when your wife is saying, I want to hug, what she's really saying is, I want to be intimate. And you as the lead, the head of your household, the shepherd for their, your duty is to find ways to be intimate and give her that intimacy so that she doesn't seek it outside, because intimacy is not always a physical act. It's a state of mind.
It's a state of mind, bro.
So what about them?
Did you hear that, Chris?
No, I
just in case, bro.
I know some guys that
I know some guys. Here we go.
I know some people that their wife wants to cuddle and then they're just like, want to get it in, you know what I'm saying?
And that sounds so personal.
Let me tell y'all what cuddling for. I'm a woman and y'all said I'm the first woman on this show, so let me kick it to y'all real straight. When a woman says we want to cuddle, what we're really saying is we want emotional engagement. I want to be as close to you as possible, but I don't want to have
sex.
Right? I want to be as close to you as I can, but I don't want the act of sex. But I want you to feel me and I want to feel you. When we say we want to cuddle, that's transferable to emotional engagement, because we don't sometimes just want to cuddle, hug, and be silent and lay up. I want you to ask me, how's my day? What you thinking about? And don't ask the fluff questions. I'm going to kick it to y'all. And some ladies probably be bad, but let me kick it to y'all straight. When we cuddling, don't ask us, how was our day? Ask us something that we're not expecting, because it means you're present in our life. I had an ex one time, we was cuddling. And you know, typical, how was your day? What you do? He didn't ask me that. He said, I noticed that every time we go here, you like this particular food. Why do you like that particular food? And I was like, what? I didn't even know he noticed. He said, and I also noticed every time you do this, you do this. And he started like asking or just telling me things I didn't think he was paying attention to.
He broke the code.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel wonderful. You know why?
He broke the code.
No, he did not break the code. What he did was he kept his girlfriend from engaging with other men or being entertained by other people. Right? Emotionally connecting with other people.
Don't point at me, Chris. I can see.
Do you understand that even though he was my man, there's always other men watching? I don't care how married you are. There is another man in this world watching your wife.
Facts.
You better walk around on this earth and act like you know it. And that means you never open a gateway for anybody else. And I always said that. I think the best way, I tell women this, the best way to honor God in your marriage is to never let another person have one up on your marriage. Your husband should never be able to walk in a room and there's another man in that room that knows more about you or your situation than your husband. And if that's the case, then you've already broken that tie to what you stood before God. And as a man, you should never let your woman walk into a room and let another man have a one-up on you by understanding your woman's body language or physique, by simply just looking at her mannerisms and knowing what she needs. Everybody got to be up on their game.
I think that's a bar. That's definitely another episode right there.
My goodness. Chris is crying over here behind the scenes, bro.
Chris is crying. He go cry in the car. Yeah, I'm crying in the car on the way home.
So I saw a comment right now. He's like, slow it down so I can write it. But right. the good thing is it's on YouTube, Christian, so you can rewind it. Yeah, it's going to be in there. So that's
okay, man, we're going to get to this final question. Man, it's getting so good, huh? Man, okay. Question number 5. What do you think about angels?
They're real. What do you want me to say?
Because you know what? Oh, man.
like, you want me to give you this?
Well, so I know some people.
These people, man.
That they pray like angels come, like angels intervene. Some people take the angel topic like big, and I believe in angels too, but what I'm saying is it almost feels like they have one up on the spiritual realm, like God, like they have one up, where I feel like it's a dangerous, you know, to pray, I'm gonna pray so this angel would come. Like, it sounds different. That's why I wanted to ask the question.
People that summons angels before God don't have a relationship with God, or they're scared to go to the Father himself. If I'm scared to go to the Father, I'm going to go to what I feel. Lord, send your angels, or I want the angels to come in and keep around me. No, Father, I need you. And if you so be it want to send your angels, rally up the crew and tell them, get on down here because it's going down. Rally them up. You know what I'm saying? But you got to go to the source, the creator, the maker, the way maker. If you want a cake, are you going to go to the man that delivered the items to bake the cake, or are you going to go to the baker?
Baker.
Right. Like, you got to put things in simplicity.
I told you, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
And bro, you stop believing,
like,
bro.
Like, that's what we do. These the friends. These the people you know. No, I think that we got to go to the source.
My goodness, bro.
So angels, people that believe in angels.
From the beginning.
Okay. Believe in angels because they're
so
real.
People are like castaway, man. They're like in the island just having some weird thoughts, bro.
Oh,
Tom Hanks, come back.
It's biblical, right? Because, you know, we see it with Daniel, right? When he was praying to the Father. And he's saying, was it Michael, right? The archangel.
So you didn't even know their names. That's what I'm saying. Like, most people, they know their names. Like, oh, this is Archangel.
But the simplicity, right? Going back to the simplicity. It's like, whatever you put on top of God is an idol. So an angel can become an idol. Real,
told
like,
you.
But that's like you said, that those are the soldiers.
Anything that you elevate or over accentuate in time is an idol. Some people have food as an idol. Well, anything you overindulge in becomes an idol. Even and that's what I'm saying. I had somebody say that to me one time in the church. Me having sex with my wife that much is not da da da. And I was like, do you know that there's a such thing? I'm nymphomaniac. There's a such thing of overdoing something to the point of exhaustion.
And what did he say? That's weird.
He wanted it a lot and all the time. His wife was trying to express that sometimes she was tired or there, and he used scripture against her. You're not supposed to deny your husband. You're not supposed to. And I was like, whoa, we gonna pull this thing real back real quick. Because as a lead and a head of your household and as a servant of God, you're supposed to understand that there's wisdom in how you move. And right now, you're not wise. You letting the little head think for the big head, and you're making foolish thoughts right now. And you're about to go left in your marriage. Discern. It's okay for her to rest. You're not doing without. You know what I'm saying? Like, chill out. And he's like, I'm like, what are you missing out on? And then we had to get to the root. And I said, the root is not that you want all this over sex from your wife. The root is you are addicted to pornography and you're wanting your wife to match your habit that you're dealing with over there. And that will never be. You're wanting your wife to become your realistic pornographic imagery and scene. So she's battling women and men she's never met in her life, trying to appease your appetite for sex. And it's never going to work.
Yeah.
So the idol, you know what I mean? So anything you overindulge in becomes your idol. We overeat. I always tell people when I see overweight pastors, I be like, y'all living in sin every day.
Oh, shoot.
To be healthy in the body, you have to be healthy. To be healthy in Christ, you got to be healthy in the body. And when we're not healthy in the body, then what are we doing?
Dang.
Right?
Got him.
I'm just being straight up.
No, that's facts. It's facts. It's a matter.
Yeah.
Yo, like, this is how it should be, right? When you see someone feel, you should be like, yo, that dude is a man of God.
Bro, every time you mention overweight, you look at me.
No, come on.
Bro, I saw you glazing on my belly button.
I was like, tripping.
What the heck?
You tripping.
That is so rude, bro.
No, like, people don't be really wanting to approach that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you get to the root of something, what I learned is when we drop one addiction, we pick it up with another. If you ever talk to people in church, they be like, oh, I've been delivered from drugs, but you overindulge in cheeseburgers. I've been delivered from eating, but you overindulge in this. Like, we don't know as humans how to be subtle in things. We overindulge in things.
Well, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, right?
And we lack that in so many different things.
And God does not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Going back to,
He don't give us a spirit of fear, but we got a lot of scary people out here.
Shit, got you.
let's wrap it up on that.
Man,
yo, sis,
so fun.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you guys thought of me to be on. I don't know how many other women will be on. Hopefully. Oh. Y'all will have more.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I did us women justice.
Oh, man. You open up the gate in a mighty way. God is using you. And I'm so honored to be your brother.
I'm honored to have you as a brother and hanging in there with me. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
But we did it. We're still doing it. I tell people, don't live in my life. Do life with me. You learn a lot of things about me. You know?
Say that one more time.
Don't just be a part of my life. Do life with me. Don't live in life. Just do life with me.
Told you. Told you.
All right, people. Well, thank you so much again, sis.
You're welcome.
And did you want to share the people where they can find you if they need your services?
Yeah. At Open Heart Leaders. And that's simple. On Instagram and Facebook. That's where you can find our services and reach out. Like I said, all kinds of services, counseling, coaching, resources. If you know there are people in the community that need resources, education. I opened up my own high school. So if you know somebody between the ages of 15 and 30 who don't have a high school diploma and they want to get a high school diploma, they can hit me up. Yeah, I'm just out here doing life with people.
Remember that. All right, everybody. So we'll see y'all next week. Same day, same time, same channel. God bless y'all. Thanks for tapping in. Make sure you share this, like it, subscribe, comment, do all them things. Peace out, y'all.
Peace. Bye. Peace.